Texas Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. It's me, Damona Hoffman, your certified dating coach, and the person who is going to enlighten you about love in the modern world. I'm sitting here in studio next to my co-host, the CEO of the Textbird app, Ray Christian.
What's up?
What's up? It's time to enlighten some people. We have some new terminology today to talk about. I like to give everybody a fair chance at the dating and relationship lexicon of 2017.
You look so refreshed.
Do I? I refresh myself. I took a little trip to the desert.
Went to Coachella. Partied it up. Did a lot of drugs.
I went to Coachella. Not in Coachella. To the place where Coachella was happening. Yeah, I was soaking in the desert rays. I have to say, I must be like really far from my African roots because it was so hot out there. I was like, I don't know how I'm part African because I can't handle it. It must be the Jewish Russian roots that are just.
The Jewish part of you was definitely schwitzing.
it was totally schwitzing. Well, we have a lot of interesting things to talk about in regards to dating and relationships this week. Not mine, but your own. And two celebrity divorces, unexpected celebrity divorces that we have to tell you about. Also, we'll give you the signs that you may be in a dead-end relationship. And we'll discuss a new dating trend that is showing that the millennial crowd might be failing at dating. You know, no shade there, Ray. No
shade. As a millennial yourself, a self-proclaimed somewhat millennial, I'm curious to see you defend.
I actually had this conversation with my husband last night because he were the same age. And I said, do you feel like you're Gen X? And he said, no. And I said, do you feel like you're millennial? And he thought he felt millennial. I don't know. I feel somewhere in the middle.
I feel like a millionaire. That don't make it so.
Well, one thing is for sure. Producer Thomas is definitely a millennial.
As we discussed.
Do you feel millennial?
I feel very millennial.
Do you feel like doing the dish?
Yeah, of course. Always.
D's dating dish.
You know, any reputable news source, Ray, has to retract any stories that they put out that are found to be incorrect. And therefore, in the dating and relationship world, things are always changing. But we have to update you about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. They have officially filed for divorce. That was quick, right?
Was that fake news? Very sad.
Might have been fake news. So just over a month ago, if you are a subscriber and you've been following along, we discussed that Ben Affleck and Jennifer were talking about reconciling after stalling on their divorce for 2 years. He's been living in the back house. He's been stalling on that divorce. And we heard that they were seen out together and they were talking and it looked like they were dating again and things were getting back on track. But it looks like maybe those were just conversations like, who's going to get the couch and what about the dogs and how soon can you get out of my house? Because the divorce is actually now back on the table. And then there were reports that Ben is already dating, which, of course, the mamarazzi got all upset about that. And they were like, how could he be dating already? They just filed for divorce. And so now he and his people have retracted that. He says, no, I'm not dating. We're just divorcing. So I don't know what the F is going on in the Bennifer household, but it ain't sex between Ben and Jen.
I like the link in that article about Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin from Coldplay when she said we invented this concept of conscious uncoupling.
Which she didn't even invent. It was a book by Katherine Woodward Thomas. She did not invent it at all, but she got credit for it. I just had, as we're being honest and transparent, Gwyneth made it seem like she made that up. She did not.
She seems a little crazy for me, but question for you. Do you know anybody, do you have any friends that have broken up with someone and have then gotten back together or taken a break and then gotten back together for a happy relationship? Is that even possible?
Actually, I do. I actually do.
You do?
Yep, I do. I have a client, actually, who broke up with her fiancé right before the wedding.
Mm.
Yep. And then, like, 2 years went by, and he started creeping back in there, and he crept all the way in, all the way to the altar, and now they've been happily married for several years.
Several years.
Several years.
Okay.
Yeah. They made it a little bit further than our next celebrity couple, Janet Jackson, and her husband. They both filed for, well, I guess You have to both file for divorce. But they filed for divorce. But it's curious because they haven't been married so long. They just had a baby. We reported a while ago about how she was pregnant at 50. Insane. I guess if you have that much money, you can make nature your bitch.
She is a reproductive thoroughbred.
Yeah.
50.
Seriously. But they have now a beautiful baby boy, but they're getting divorced. And, you know, people are saying, oh, Janet, oh, she's so rich, and now he's going to be collecting on her, and he was just trying to tap into that. No, 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 no. Because her husband is worth over $1 billion. So she's actually going to be getting a cute little paycheck from Wisdom Almana.
You said there was like a structure, like the longer we've dated, the bigger the payout. Like,
well, yeah, they had a prenup in place. Because, I don't know, maybe they were expecting this to happen. They were like, I don't know how this is going to go, so let's figure this out. So if they were married 5 years, they had one amount. If they were married 10 years, they had another amount. But she didn't even make it to five. So I guess it's sort of like, you know, she was on The Price is Right and she got that consolation prize. And they were like, oh, well, good luck to you. Which is still like $200 million or something like that. So, but more importantly, their relationship didn't work out. And the question is why?
So, as a quick aside, I just added a Janet Jackson song to my favorite playlist. That's the Way Love Goes. Mm.
That's a good jam.
What a good song. And, you know, I think she is one of the most underrated singers. Because I went through her list. I was like, man, a lot of bangers. And I know The Body is Just Barely Cold. You know who I think is like wildly overrated? Prince. Comparing Prince to Janet Jackson.
Oh, no, 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 no. Don't do this, Ray. Don't do this. I can't even believe we're having this conversation. Are you kidding me?
But Janet's
got some bangers. Prince overrated?
Overrated. We got like through 3 or 4 songs, and I was like, I don't like any more of these songs. But Janet, I was like 10 to 15 songs. I was like, okay, Janet.
Okay. Well, okay. Wow. I don't even know how to respond to this. I didn't know we were going to go here. But
give me the Gen Y take.
It's a bold claim, to be sure.
Janet Jackson is a great singer and a great producer, songwriter, all of that. But her music, for the most part, I would say falls into the pop category. And I think Prince is an artist who transcends a lot of generations and transcends a lot of different styles and a lot of genres of music. And I think that's something that not a lot of artists can do.
Prince kind of reminds me, I would analogize this to something you don't probably get, the diva wide receiver in the NFL. It's like more sizzle than steak. He made a career out of being kind of weird. Purple Rain, effing weird. Changing your name to a symbol, really weird. He got headlines that way. His music wasn't that great. It was good. It wasn't transcendent by any means.
Okay.
Like MJ had 35 bangers, 35 legendary hits. Janet, 15. Prince, 3 maybe?
No.
4?
No, just no. Just, I can't even. I don't know. Producer Thomas, is there any more to be said on this subject?
I think Ray's wrong. It's the final verdict from my end.
Okay, well, maybe a he said, she said. The debate will have to continue. I didn't know we were going to go there, so I'm not
You're
prepared on
guard.
All of my Prince talking points. But
overrated.
You know, this may be one of the signs,
overrated.
Ray, that we are in a dead-end relationship because...
Time for a break.
No, it's not time for a break yet because our break. Okay. Right, we might need a break, but you guys might need a break at home because you might be in a dead-end relationship and not even realize it. Elite Daily recently shared a story about the signs that can show that your relationship is really headed nowhere or to the dumpster or, no, I'm not going to do a different analogy. So if you are thinking any of these things, you might want to reconsider being with your honey. So if you think, I can do better. If you go, I know I can do better. If you feel that, you're probably not with the right person. If one of you is completely bored, that's a really bad sign. If you're not supportive of each other's ambitions, I think this is a really big one. Because I feel like that is, it's like the little cuts and the little digs that make a relationship feel unsafe to someone. And so when you have an idea, like when I said to my husband, hey, I think I want to quit this really lucrative and successful television producer career that I have and become a dating expert. And he's like, If that will make you happy, great. If he had said, I don't know what you're doing, like, that sounds like a really bad idea, I probably wouldn't have done it, but I probably would have silently resented him.
I think that's fair. You should support each other. It's a team. You're a team. And, like, whether it's with career moves or if you're out in public, it's like, it's always we. It should be we. If you attack my baby, you're attacking me. My question to you, as somebody in a successful marriage, now 10 years?
10 years, yes. We officially had our 10-year. I'm going to milk this as long as I can. But I realize that's a big deal. 10 years, I mean, that's longer than Janet Jackson, if I had stuck in there.
Thomas over here killing the rap game with the timely sound effects. So my question to you, all these things you just rattled off that are signs that a relationship is dead, I wonder, are they hard and fast? Because have you ever had any of these where you could say, yes, I do have that issue with my relationship right now? Or is it never once any of these have been like, you know what, okay, I do have an issue, and it just subsided and it passed?
No, for me, I've never had any of these issues. And some of them, I think, are bigger red flags than others. Like, they also said cheating of any kind. Okay. I think that's a big red flag. But I think that's not necessarily insurmountable if you guys address the underlying issue. I think that's a symptom and not the underlying issue. I think that happens when you can't stand each other or you're not supportive or something like that. But I don't know. It's an interesting article. I think people should kind of check it out and do their own little analysis. We have one quick little story before we go to break. There's a new dating trend that indicates why millennials fail in relationships. And just because we were always breaking new terms here, we talked about ghosting long before people were using ghosting in their daily lexicon. We talked about Tinder when it was just starting to hit. And so now there's a new dating term. Get out your pens and papers or your phones or however people take notes, however you millennials do it. There's a new dating term called cushioning. And the simplest description of this is when you're in a monogamous relationship, you decide to flirt outside of it and keep some backup prospects ready. And that person will be there, or those people will be there, in case you find yourself single again. They're saying that this is what millennials are doing now. Ray, since you're so millennial, how does cushioning sound to you? Sound like a good idea?
As the resident millennial, Damona, I'll pass the torch to you.
What?
What do you think? Oh, wait, you're not a millennial anymore? That's weird.
Adjacent.
It's a term, I get it. It's basically just hedging. You're hedging your bets. You don't believe in the relationship you do have. And I do not think millennials have this market cornered. Every generation does this. The generation of people that are in a bad relationship and aren't really that confident in who they are. Because the people that are confident say, you know what, this isn't right for me, and I'm going to end this relationship like a graceful human being. So
right, and have the confidence that if it doesn't work out, they will be able to get someone else again. Because I think the only reason for cushioning is to make yourself feel better. And then it's like putting a life vest on before you jump out of the boat.
Right.
Just so you know that you'll be okay. But it's like, if you know how to swim, then who cares if the boat capsizes? You'll be okay.
Agreed.
Well, hopefully your boat's not capsizing. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Technically Dating with your questions, the questions that you folks have posted on the Techspert app, and we'll give you our expert advice. And by the way, before we go to break, if you like what you hear, why not subscribe to Dates and Mates? We will land in your feed. It's one less worry. I mean, I have all these things on my to-do list, like, oh, subscribe to that pod, download that podcast. You won't have to worry about that. It'll just show up in your feed, and we'll be there for you every week to entertain you and give you thought-provoking conversations on love in the modern world right there on your phone. So stick around, subscribe to the show, and listen to more Dates and Mates right after this.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code GIFT18, that's GIFT18 at adamandeve.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's Damona Hoffman, your certified dating coach. I'm here with Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textpert app. You know, I love it when you go into the app and you find the questions that really need the answers from the experts like you and me on love in the modern world. Mm-hmm.
Let's do some technically dating.
Let's do it.
Technically dating.
Wait, I forgot what we're talking about. My short-term memory is kind of fuzzy right now. I wonder why. It's really weird. What's happening today again?
Oh, my God. So, yes, it is 420 today. You may be doing some cushioning yourself. What?
Oh, snap.
Okay, still got it.
Still got the pun game on point.
I have never observed 420.
Really?
Just for your information.
I can't believe it's about to be legal. But I digress. I guess I'm preaching to the wrong choir. I'm going to leave this church. We have a question from a young lady. She's 19, and she says, what does it mean when a guy messages you, then leaves you on read, and does the same thing over and over?
I was going to ask you what this means. Is this read receipts?
Yes. So this guy has read receipts on. You have read receipts on, by the way. BT dubs.
I'm
you
so
them
confused.
On.
You're going to have to look at my phone after the show because I don't know how to work this thing. I'm just a Gen Xer.
Millennial adjacent.
Well, right now I'm a Gen Xer because I don't know how these read receipts work. I don't have them on, Ray.
So basically...
Maybe just for you.
You do have them on. I think you can have them on your phone, but not on your computer or
vice versa. Oh, right.
Actually, I think I do have that on my phone, but not on my computer.
I think it's vice versa. This is good information for folks at home.
But to this lady's question, this is like almost the ultimate insult. When someone like constantly will like respond really quickly or text you really quickly and then just instantly ghost after that text, it's almost like I kind of have some attention for you. I like having you around, but I have no interest in an actual conversation. So what does it mean? He is not into you at all, but he has no problem having you on the little JV roster.
Could
she
be
one of his side chicks?
She could be a cushion.
She's a cushion.
She's like a little throw pillow right
he's,
there.
He's definitely.
She's not even a cushion. She's a throw pillow. He's just like poof.
He is not into it.
Oh, that's always the sign. How do you know he's just not into you? He's just not that into you. He just doesn't respond. Like, that's it. That's how you know.
I've inadvertently done this too, where I'm like, someone texts me. I'm like, it could be even someone that's a friend I don't really want to talk to, but I'm just like. Someone says, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, how you doing? And then they say, blah, 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 some other thing. I'm just like, and I just forget about it. Kind of like your
you
guy
did
that
to
says,
kinda like
Damona, hi. And you're like, you say hi back and then you have no interest.
I was going to say kind of like what you did to me yesterday, right?
What do you mean?
I'm just not going to reply.
I responded.
It's okay. It's okay.
That's not true.
It's okay.
Fabrication. All right.
I'm
along.
Old. My memory's not so good and it's 420.
Do you have like a bong hit sound effect?
No. Nope.
That wasn't preloaded on the sound.
Not in my show. Not in my show, we don't.
Well, luckily I brought one with me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. So we have, I usually don't unearth the usernames, but this one's just delightful. This is a young lady. She's 18, and her name is Shading Dong. She says.
And she chose that.
She chose that. That's not an auto. We do auto-generate names. That is not one we did. She says, does anyone else have this same problem? You have an ex you're still in love with or emotionally attached to, but you're trying to see someone new. And no matter how hard you try with this new person, your ex keeps coming back into your mind. Cry face, concerned face emojis. It's effing me up so bad I just want things to work out or just not have this problem anymore.
Signs you're just not that into him. You keep thinking about your ex. That's one of the signs. I mean, I think one of two things has happened. Either she hasn't had enough time to gain perspective on the last relationship, or this new relationship isn't really holding her attention as much as she thinks she is. I think it's more, could be a rebound situation where it's just like, well, I just want to be with somebody to be with somebody. But if you're still thinking about your ex, you're not doing any favors to the guy that you're with now. And so I would say if you're not able to be all in with him, don't use him as a cushion. Don't just string him along, because that's not really fair.
How do you feel about the length of time one ought to be single after a relationship? Do you have a general rule of thumb?
I don't. I think it depends on what the relationship was about, how it ended, how you feel about it, how connected you were when you were with them. How long before the relationship actually ended did it end in your mind? You know, there's no set amount of time. It's interesting. I was reading this article about Sheryl Sandberg. This is a little bit sidebar, a little different conversation, but I wanted to talk about it anyway. So, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, she mm-hmm. wrote Lean In, and she's
Facebook,
like CEO of Facebook or something.
HBIC.
She's like the next guy to Zuckerberg, but not a guy. And, you know, in her book, Lean In, she talks about how much her husband was a support system for her. And then he passed away. And now she's dating again. She's dating a friend of hers. And it's been about 10 months. And of course, she was like slut shamed all over the internet. And people were like, I can't believe, like, your husband's only been dead 10 months. I can't believe you're out there dating again. And you're dating this friend. And was he lurking around? And I just think it's so unfair for other people to tell her when she is ready to date again.
Agreed.
It's like, and I know that's a different situation. Her husband passed away unexpectedly. But still, it's like she's got to live her life. And if she feels like this is someone that she had a friendship with, if she feels like she's ready to date again, who are we to judge what the timeline should be?
So the next day, the next week, maybe not the next day, but the next week, if you want to feel some human touch, I agree. There shouldn't be any timing on it. So, sha-ding-dong, I think you should probably just take some time off. This person's probably not revving your engine.
No ding-dongs for you. I was just waiting for that.
Oh, man, nailed it.
Well, you made a big deal about the username. I mean, I had to do something about it, right?
Speaking of ding-dongs, and maybe some limp ding-dongs, we've got a next question from a lady. She's 29. She says, we've been dating for a month now. I told him I wanted to wait before having sex. I had to stop him several times when I noticed he was getting too excited. So he waited, and now that I feel safe and comfortable, I let him know I was ready to go. Last night, while kissing hard, I didn't stop him, and we went with the flow. Then I noticed he was soft, but kept on kissing me, not getting hard at all. So we stopped. We smoked weed, timely, before we hooked up, so he said it was because he was high. Now I'm afraid of trying again.
Why do people let themselves be paralyzed by fear? Why not try again? I mean, this is not a scientific experiment. You don't do the experiment once and say, well, that was the result. You know? you have to try again. It really might have been the weed. It absolutely could have been the weed. I don't know how much they smoked. I don't know how it affects him. But that absolutely could be the case. And if that hadn't happened before, then there's probably some different factor. So either you did something else that turned him off. And I don't think it's just waiting. I don't think waiting for sex, if a guy is into you, will turn him off.
If you wait too long, I think it can. And also builds up so much pressure.
But not,
it's like this, if you wait 10 months.
If you're really into a girl, I don't think waiting will make you, when you're finally ready to have sex with her, not have sex. Like, I think by that point, you would have stopped dating her, right?
If you're not into it, yes.
Yeah, so there's other factors. It's like, well, what else is going on with her that is making him turned off by her? But I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, drugs do crazy things to us. And I'm not just talking about like illegal or soon to be not illegal drugs. I'm talking about like even medication. You could just be taking prescribed medication, and that can be one of the side effects. So don't be so quick to judge. So judgy.
I think most of the time men do perform. It's probably not a surprise that the most popular drug ever in the history is the blue pill, which we
you will hear an advertisement for in a little bit.
But look, you know, it's not like turning on the toaster where it's like it's going to happen every single time on demand. Sometimes, you know, there's some problems with the old shitting dong. And it does, I think the key is, you know, every man's probably been through it at one point or another where that given moment, it wasn't like swing, but give him a little time, give him a little patience, and yeah, keep trying again. What's the worry?
Here's another thing. Even if he's not erect, we're going to get clinical now. That doesn't mean that they can't do other things and that he can't pleasure her in other ways. So it's like she should be also a little bit more open-minded there and a little more creative, I think, to get her needs met. There you go.
Boom. So we have a young lady. She's 18. She says, "So I'm bisexual and I'm pretty open about it, except my best friend doesn't know. And I'm worried if I tell her, it'll be awkward between us, or she'll think I'm interested in her. How do I tell her?"
Now, to me, this question is loaded with a bunch of subtext that I don't even know if this person is aware of. But I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that I think she actually is attracted to her best friend. Because if she really is her best friend, how is everyone else knowing about it? How is she pretty open about it, except for with the person that she's closest to? That makes no sense unless there's a reason that she doesn't want her friend to know. And I think if she really was honest with herself, she would say, "I'm afraid that if I tell her I'm bi and she knows I'm attracted to her, that we won't be friends anymore." Because she knows that her friend is not bi.
Are you saying because she wants actually to be with her friend?
I think she does, even though she doesn't realize it. I know she said she doesn't. I'm just saying the subtext here, to me, indicates that there's a reason she doesn't want her friend to know.
But why can't she be bisexual and have a female friend that she's not into?
I think she thinks her friend will have a problem with it. Because she thinks that she'll find out she's attracted to her and then she will lose the friendship and a relationship.
But isn't it totally plausible that she's not actually into her best friend? She does want to be just friends.
It's plausible, but why is she so afraid of her best friend knowing when it's okay with everybody else?
Well, because maybe some people, they're not okay with gay people. Sad as it is.
Then that you should not be okay with that person being your best friend, right?
Touche. I guess it's
that'd be
at
like
18,
if
it might be
somebody
scary,
was like, but, you know, I don't like Jews, but you're okay. You know, I don't really hang out with black people, but since you're, you know... I mean, that's literally exactly the same thing.
You know what, Damona?
I'm bi-religious and biracial.
I'm not racist, but is like my favorite
right.
about to be racist statement
right.
prefix.
If somebody
Look,
said
racist,
that to me, I'd be like, I think maybe we should not be best friends.
I agree. I think if we're going to take it from by the letter of the law from her post, and I appreciate your reading between the lines and the tea leaves. How
I've
does
just
she
been doing this a long time, Ray?
How does she tell her that she's bi? I would say, like, when in doubt, if there's an awkward conversation that you can avoid by just showing off your actions, do that. So go up and make out with a girl in front of her. Go and tell her, like,
whoa, that is like really bold, Ray.
Why? She's bisexual.
If she doesn't know, then like the first thing is like, let me see it, like, just throw it in her face.
I mean,
should there
like,
be a conversation
or
first?
Be like, I'm like really turned on by that girl over there in the corner. Do you think I should go say hello? Like act like she's in on it together and you're collaborating. And if she says, wait, what? You'd be like, hold on. You didn't know I was bisexual. How did you not know? And like play dumb a little bit.
That's a good line. Like, how did you not know? Oh, I thought you knew. Yeah. Just pretend like everybody knew. So she thought she knew, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's clear. It's like, well, you should have known and I didn't hit on you. So it's implying that don't make things weird because we can still be friends.
There you go. I did have that happen to me once. A friend that I was very close with, I had no idea she was bisexual. And then I was helping her with her profile. She was like, there's something you should know.
Really?
Yeah.
You had no idea?
I had no idea at all. And I was like, oh, how could I be so dumb? But
quick little tangent that
especially
someone...
Especially me. Like, I should have known.
You probably should have. If only you were an expert in this whole dating thing. Oh, wait a minute. No, you're pretty good. You're very, very perceptive with this stuff.
Although I did date a lot of gay men, so my dar is a little off.
Speaking of gaydar, so someone kind of blew my mind with this concept recently. You know how they say that like a lot of these like gay conversion therapy proponents and these like pastors that say gay sex is a choice. Homosexuality is a choice. You've heard that, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sounds patently ridiculous.
Of course.
So there was an article explaining how that might happen. And the explanation was this. We all kind of only have our own interpretation of our own reality as we see it. And it's hard to conceive of how somebody else's reality might look. And so what happens is they see a lot of these pastors or whatever priests that are saying it's a choice. For them, it actually is.
Because they're choosing not to.
Because they're bisexual. And for them, they can have sex with a woman, but they could also get down with some pole. And and for them, it literally is a choice. And they can't conceive of what it's like to be a 7 on the Kinsey scale, because they just, when you're fully gay and you are just repulsed by a vagina, and they can't conceive of that. All they know is you can do both. So everybody must be kind of down with both, like me. And that's why they think it's a choice.
I don't think if you ask any pastors, they would have any awareness of that. But maybe, strong maybe.
I mean, I still think it's a reprehensible view to say that, but it kind of explains the ignorance a little bit.
I think the majority of the problems in our world today are because we have no empathy and we have no ability to understand another person's point of view.
I had some people say recently, I don't think bisexual is a thing, bisexuality. And for me, it's like, if anything could be a thing, it's going to be a thing. Like, it's definitely possible. You're good at math, you're terrible at math. You're good at sports, you're terrible at sports. You're gay, you're straight, maybe somewhere in the between. Like, all things are possible in that spectrum.
You're gay, you're good at math.
Well, speaking of that, we have a question from somewhere. She says, I have a friend and we've been really good friends for a while, but I think she might be a lesbian. I wonder if this is the same two friends. And I have no problem with that, but she makes me and my best friend really uncomfortable because she always touches us and it's uncomfortable. Any advice?
Well, and this comes from a pretty young lady. So, you know, I think that person is probably just sort of experimenting and pushing the boundaries. And if anyone is making you uncomfortable, like just imagine if that was a guy that was touching you and making you uncomfortable. Yep. Would you hesitate to tell that guy, you know, I'm kind of not into that? You wouldn't, probably. And so I think you have to kind of put your head in the mind, in the space of like, let's take the gender out of it. This person is making me uncomfortable with her actions. And you have to tell her or you have to at least show her very clearly that it's something that you're just not into.
I agree, and I would also say, kind of like the last one, go with your actions first. Every time she touches you, kind of bristle and maybe pull away.
And then go like this.
The wretch. Every time she does it, that's a good subtle way of,
we're kidding,
of gently letting her know. But yeah, she doesn't get the picture, then have the awk conversation of, hey, I know you might be gay, but I'm not, and I'd appreciate if you'd stopped rubbing my arms and stuff.
But you also don't have to even make the assumption, because she might not associate herself as being gay. So even saying, like, I think you're gay, but this ain't going on. Just saying, like, I'm not really, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable when you touch me. Like, I'm cool being friends, but this is.
That's true. That you could just say to a friend or anybody, I'm not a big fan of being touched. So I'd appreciate if you held off.
See, I've said that before.
Are you? Have you?
Remember how I said I don't like cuddling?
Which is totally normal. What an awful, awful practice, cuddling.
And then when my husband tries to do it, I just go. You didn't get the signal? I'm kidding. I'm okay with a little bit of cuddling.
Cuddling, it initiates your gag reflex. That's a good sign for some pillow talk. So
I just like space when I sleep. Is there anything wrong with
okay,
that?
Okay, I do like that.
I don't like to be hot, and I don't like to be smothered when I sleep. That's all.
Girl, you so hot. All right, so.
I don't like it.
I don't like when you touch me. Tell them that next time. I just don't like when you touch me.
It's not.
It's good
for a
marriage.
Putting words in my mouth. That is not what I said. It's just excessive cuddling.
Okay, fair enough. This one's short and sweet, Miss Damona, Miss D. Can you fall out of love with someone in a day, or does it take longer?
That's a good question. I think anything is possible, you know, if you really believe and achieve. I think anything is possible. Sure, you could fall out of someone in a day. Like, if there's something that they do that's really heinous and repulsive. You know, I've definitely had that situation before where, like, you know, someone did something and you're just like, you know, now I just see that person in a whole different way and it colors everything else.
Yeah, I see like a relationship or the bond or the love as almost like a lever. It's not a light switch where it's like on, off. It's almost like if you're
on a dimmer.
Right. It's like if you're past this point, you're in love. You can be really, really, really gaga right now. But if you ever dip, you might just dip past that. Do not pass this line. And if you do pass that line, it's kind of the hourglass has turned and it's only a matter of time. And I think it's a moment. It's like, you know what? I can't marry this person. And that just happens like that. It's not like a slow process of meetings and thoughts. It's like it hits you one day. I think that's how it does happen.
But then you're saying it's sort of a gradual progression to an end point.
Could be. But that crossing of the line when you realize you can't marry this person or you're not in love with them, it's a singular moment, I think, rather than it may be an accumulation to that moment. But once that moment happens, it happens in a given day. I would agree with that.
Okay.
Like, do you look back and say, you know, over the course of the last month, our revenue towards this love has been declining and
we have hit the tipping point and we are now in an area of diminishing returns in our relationship.
All right. Another short and sweet one for you. My husband smokes and stinks up the house. What shall I do?
This is actually, it's short and sweet, but it's kind of a big question because this is a lifestyle choice that your husband has made. I don't know if he started smoking after they got married or if he was smoking before, but that's something really, really, really hard to quit. If she's okay with him having smoked and being in the house but not smoking in the house, I think you just have to say to him that, you know, you prefer that he doesn't smoke in the house and just make that rule. And, I mean, but he's still going to come home smelling like smoke. I had a roommate once that smoked and she always smoked outside. But then, like, I would go to work and my boss was like, he was really against smoking. He was like, are you smoking now? And I'm like, I'm not. And he's like, well, your clothes smell like smoke. I'm like, I don't know. I live with a smoker. Like, I've never smoked in my life. But it's not like, remember on the plane? Oh, you probably don't remember because, you know, you're so millennial. Where there used to be a smoking section. It's like the smoke is like, can't go past here. Gotta stop. Can't really contain it.
This one is, you're right, so many layers. It's a tough one. I like your rule, though. Just not in the house, babe. Not in the house. It's affecting me. Your decision is now affecting me.
Yeah.
But I think we could expound on this even further in a later opportunity.
I watch a lot of Intervention. And so, you know, you say, like, your smoking is affecting my life negatively in the following ways. And then you make a list of all the reasons that you need them to stop smoking. Just kidding. Don't do that. That's a little bit extreme. Boy, we're going to get a lot more extreme. After this break, you're listening to Dates and Mates. I'm Damona Hoffman here with Ray Christian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. We are having so much fun here talking about love in the modern world. I hope you're having a good time too. By the way, if you love this show, why not subscribe? Why not tell a friend? And we can have more people join our tribe on iTunes. So, Ray, I understand that something has gotten your... Oh, I don't want to steal your thunder. Something has gotten under your skin. Yes.
You know what rustles my britches? When my co-host steals my thunder.
I was going to say something about britches, but then with all the talk about ding-dongs and things, I just... Britches are pants, aren't they?
Do you have shading-dong on the brain right now?
I have shading-dong on the brain. What do you have on the brain today?
People that don't hold their word.
Uh-oh. Okay, producer Thomas, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. It's time for another Ray's Rant.
Like the great philosopher Tony Montana once said, all I have in this world are my balls and my word. What, you don't want to trust the fictional cocaine dealer? Okay, fine. The famous writer Don Miguel Ruiz wrote a best-selling book, The Four Agreements, and the number one agreement was be impeccable with your word. Bailing on plans and flaking on commitments is the fastest way to deteriorate and chip away at your integrity and your reputation. Stop saying yes to things that you cannot do. My personal favorite is the person that, in an unsolicited way, offers help or a favor, even though you didn't ask. So it could be a date, it could be a party, it could be helping a friend with a business connection or a favor or a move. It doesn't matter what it is. You know that friend that's always there in a pinch, and you also know that friend that you can never depend on. Which one of those friends are you? Like the great philosopher Nike once said, if you say you're going to do something, just do it.
Wait, which friend am I?
If you have to ask...
I think I'm the good one.
You are the good one. You're one of the good ones.
Of all the things, of all of my flaws and all of my strengths, just getting things done is sort of a strength, I think.
You do, yeah. You say what you're going to do and do what you're going to say.
Well, and see, this is such a big deal in relationships because people always say, like, how do you earn someone's trust? And that is the exact way. By following through and doing what you say you're going to do. That's the easiest way. That's the only way.
Right. It's so easy. Just say no to stuff occasionally.
So who hurt your feelings, Ray?
Nobody hurt my feelings. Just it's an accumulation of things. I just pick up little nuances.
What's her name? I'm kidding.
Well, first of all, Chrissy is just, she's a doll. And she's actually extremely true to her word. And I think L.A. is one of the worst towns for this. The flaking, oh, yeah, I'll definitely be at that party. Or definitely I'll get you that audition. And I think it permeates the city more so than others. And I notice it kind of affects me. I'm like, I'll just flake, even though I said yes. But just do what you say you're going to do. And if you can't, just say no. Like, stop being a people pleaser.
I
know I'm looking at you hard, but
I know.
That for you.
I usually do, but if things happen after 9 o'clock, all bets are off. And I'm not,
Actually, you did say you were going to come to my birthday, and you did not.
Because you pushed it by half an hour. And I was like, I was only going to be there from 9 to 10 because my eyes go shut at 10. And you were like, oh, no, we're going to get there at like 9:30. And I was like, oh, now I'm going to be driving out to Santa Monica. I'll be sitting by myself for half an hour. And then Ray will show up at 9:45 and I'll get 15 minutes and then I'll have to drive half an hour home.
Are you sure that's how it went down? Are you sure
exactly.
This isn't a little revisionist
history? I have the read receipts to prove it. Okay. Well, sorry about that, Ray, but really, I'm very good at following through on my word, but just not after 9 o'clock.
You are usually pretty good. You are one of the good friends.
But I'll see you at 6:30 if you want to be on my schedule. I'm very reliable from 6:30 a.m. till 9 p.m.
All I know is don't be pushing your next birthday time, because if you do, I may have to flake on you
I
hard.
I might push it up. Hey, everybody, let's get up at the crack of dawn on my schedule. You know, Ray, there's something that's been bothering me too. And it's not that.
Mm. How is it bothering you in a particular way? Is it rustling anything?
It has it's not rustling anything. But it has nothing to do with you or with my husband, but I do want to talk about husbands that let themselves go. All right. Societal expectations on women are requiring us to stay fit even after we get married. Plus then, when we have kids, there are so many changes that we go through. We have to grow humans on our belly, and I could show you the battle scars from that. We have hormonal changes. We have to deal with sleep deprivation. And still, we make efforts to stay sexy. And yet, husbands seem to get a pass. They can eat what they want. They can stop exercising. They can wear ratty-ass clothes. And they still expect us to be hot for them. And when the relationships fail and the husbands and the wives break up, what ends up happening? New women overlook all that broke down, broke-ass husband behavior and hook up with them anyway. And most of the times, the wives who've kept themselves sexy, who've been working out, are left out in the cold. It's time that the husbands live up to the same expectations that they hold their wives to. For the record, this is not about my husband. I'm just ranting for the ladies who have to keep themselves sexy, the moms that are still hot, and I want their men to care as much about their health as their ladies care about them.
Damn. Mr. Resnick, get it together. Mr. Resnick Hoffman, geez, what's he doing? Is he just letting himself
go? I like that you tacked my maiden name onto his name. No. I'm good. I'm real good. But I have a lot of friends that I look around and I'm like, oh no, he's not keeping it together. It's like the King of Queens syndrome. Like, why does Kevin James get to be with Leah Remini? Are you kidding me?
And how's he affording a 4-bedroom single home detached on like a UPS driver's salary? What's up with that? Some plot holes there. But anyways.
It's a fantasy.
Okay, so I agree with this, but at the end of the day, aren't men just more visual than women? And like we put a higher priority on the looks than women put on the looks. Like, I don't have a six pack. And I'm pretty sure most women don't really care.
I just think we should keep the standards the same. I think that men need to continue to take care of themselves. So whatever you did to get your wife in the first place, you need to keep doing that.
But the standards, are they going to also be the same for income generation?
What are you saying?
If the standards have to be the same then also for everything. If the standards are the same for looks and fitness, do they also have to be the same? Like, babe, if I'm going to make $150,000 a year, you better too, because you just told me that
sure.
I have to be in shape.
Oh, absolutely.
Since you are.
If that person has not taken on a separate job as the mother of your children, which is also a full-time job, and if you actually had to pay for that, it would probably cost you more.
Okay, so in this world, it's fair if I said, all right, baby, I'll stay in shape. I'll be cock-dieseled. I'll be swole. But you better also be earning some nice coin and bringing in the bacon. Is that fair?
I believe in a quality marriage. I think you should do it all.
Okay.
And if she can do it all, and in most of the cases, the women is doing all of the women are doing all of that.
Multiple wives?
But they're working out and they're going to work and they're taking care of the kids and they're doing it all, and the expectation level has not risen for men. Step it up.
So I'm playing devil's advocate, but I agree. Don't let yourself go.
Go. No, nobody let themselves go. Okay, so speaking of letting oneself go, I wanted to do a love expose. We have a couple minutes to talk about a topic that I want to go a little deeper on. And this is why people stay in dead relationships too long. So we talked earlier about the signs that you're in a dead relationship. But I'm finding in my work that a lot of people are stuck in these relationships that are really, they know are over. Why do you think people are staying in these dead-end relationships?
To put it succinctly, I think fear. It's fear and lack of confidence. Why do you think?
Sort of like that life vest analogy. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. You know, we've talked recently about cohabitation, and you know that is the topic of my show, A Question of Love, that will be coming out this summer.
Pew, 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 pew.
But I think we're also very quick to become entwined with one another and live together. It's like, oh, well, if we're dating and if like we're really into each other, let's just be together all the time and let's just share all our stuff and let's just see each other every day. And very quickly, our lives get roped up in one another and they're very difficult to unentangle. And when you... At one point, we're close to someone, but then you've realized as you've gotten to know them better that it's not a fit. When you have a financial dependence, when you have a home that you share together, whether it's rented or bought, when you have so much that's built on top of the other person, it's very hard to leave that situation. And I think we're actually boxing ourselves in.
You're always worried about the devil you don't know. Even if you got a devil in the house, you got a fox in the hen house. You're worried about what's it going to be like if I'm single and that all.
Coyotes outside.
Right. But I know this guy. At least he's a devil or she's a devil, but at least I know them. So it's a bad decision. Get out of those toxic relationships.
Yeah. We have to wrap it up for today, but I hope we've inspired you to expect more, to give more, to love more in your relationships. If you love the show, subscribe on iTunes, tell a friend. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Damona Hoffman and see the cute pic of my son vacuuming for the first time and me in a cute retro blue bathing suit. And you can hit up Ray on Instagram LA, see you working like a dog and other things. Any other teas you want to give for your Instagram?
Just go download the app. Go post your little doozies on Textbert.
Post your doozies on Textbert because we want to talk about them next week. And until then, happy dating.